This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, the devil went down to Florida. He was looking for some points to steal. Stay tuned. Season 4, episode 46 of the Bolts broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Crawshaw with you today. Chase, how are you on this lovely Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing pretty good overall. Appreciate you asking. And I know we're both smiling here a little bit because we just collectively came up with, you know, at least our favorite duo intro that we've done. It was a little corny, but it was a good one. I like that one. But, you know, how are you feeling about that one, Mike? And how are you doing overall?
I am doing great. And I was feeling great about that as well. You know, I was a little worried. Before we started the show, I was asking, how do I have the tone? You know, what do I do? And I think it turned out okay. And by the way,
it did.
If anyone wants to hear Chase actually sing that, check after the episode.
Okay.
you don't want to go?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
No, I do not.
I mean, we all miss concerts with Chase. For those of you that don't know, which I'm assuming a lot of you don't, but Chase, when was this, high school?
I think it started senior year of high school, maybe even junior year. And then I did it in a little bit into freshman year of college.
Yeah. And so what Chase would do is he would sit in his car and just sing and put it on Snapchat, put it on a story, send it to people. And it was one of those where you saw it on a story, and then you got the snap, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's going to be the same thing, isn't it? Sure enough, it was, but
of course.
He enjoyed that, and I think we should bring it back as a segment on the Bolts broadcast.
You know what, Mike? I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Okay. We'll keep you guys posted. I'm gonna keep trying to talk him into it, but we'll see. I'd say probably not this episode, but I'll keep you posted. Anyways, on today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, going to do a little game review, game preview. Talk about old captain, my captain, still nursing a little bit of an injury. After the commercial break, talk some news around the league, including a record-setting Boston team. Talk about a new coach out in Philly and some more around the league. But, Chase, let's
GM, start. Silly Goose, not coach.
Excuse me. New GM out in Philly.
There we go.
Let's just start with old Steven Stamkos, still nursing an injury, luckily only day-to-day.
Yep, just got a little bit of LBI action, lower body injury. It was a bit spooky when he went crashing into the boards the way he did and, you know, got up, looked like he was struggling. We all know his history with leg injuries. So it was very concerning, but thankfully it just seems like it's something short-term. Hopefully he's going to be back on the ice in a couple of days. Maybe he'll be even back on the ice as soon as tomorrow. Like that would be pretty cool. I mean, as of us recording on Wednesday, but regardless, should be no issue down the stretch going into playoffs. He should be rolling.
Would love to see him back out on the ice tomorrow. But Chase, the reason for the intro is three of our four games. So our last game against the Devils, and then two of our upcoming three, all against New Jersey. Not sure how that worked out when it comes to the scheduling, but somehow it did. Our first game against the Devils, a big success, 4-1, but we got two more to look forward to.
That we do. And you know, what a, very respectfully to New Jersey Devil fans and New Jersey natives, what a very terrible place to have like an off night and for an NHL city, just because there's some really great NHL cities out there. You know, there's even New York, there's Vegas, there's Nashville, there's Carolina. Like there's some good cities out there where you can go sightseeing, have some fun. But instead, you know, you got an off night because you're going back to back in New Jersey, and it's a little boring. So maybe it's better for focusing on the hockey, I guess. But, you know, as a player, you know, maybe even a younger player who wants to see a little more of what it's like being in the show and going to a couple cool places. Unfortunately, New Jersey is not really that place.
Yeah, I mean, but also at the same time for the New Jerseyers, what do they go by out there in New Jersey?
The New Jerseyans.
Whatever.
Sure.
They got to see Tampa come in and smoke the Devils, which that is a sight of itself. Like you talk about, you know, not really a great city for, I mean, you just got to see Tampa put on a show.
Yeah, you did. I guess it's like, you know, it might be better than a Broadway musical. You can see,
yeah.
You know, you can see what it's like to have a good hockey team in town. And exactly. That good hockey team was led by Brandon Hagel that night. 3 points on the night, 1 goal, 2 assists. Looked like a stud, so you know, I'm sure he was enjoying his time there in New Jersey more than others probably were, because he had such a successful night, continuing his really strong season with the Bolts after what looked like it was a bit underwhelming of a start for him coming in last year. But it was really kind of his show, and he just kind of helped everyone else go along with him.
Yeah, and Vassy, he played phenomenal as well. 9.57 save percentage, looking great. Really hoping for a similar performance on Thursday night, March 16th. We're still in New Jersey. What do we expect out of this game? Same results?
So I say we just cover both. One will be home, one will be away. So like this first will be away, next will be home, because like the analysis isn't going to change very much.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is going to happen is Tampa will probably go 2 out of 3. It's hard just to beat the same team over and over again, no matter how good or bad they might be. So I'd expect them to probably drop one at some point. And if they're going to drop one, I'd probably say it's the second of the away games. So I'm going to guess they're going to drop this one. Still should be a valiant effort. I don't expect them to get worked by any means, but expect them to maybe come out with a loss, like, or be prepared for a loss, not expect them. If they lose, not the end of the world. You know, they got time to make it up this weekend. They're going to be hosting Montreal and New Jersey again. So just be prepared, because if they win all three, like, that'd be awesome. But reality is, like, they're bound to drop one.
Yeah, and even though we're confident against this team, we just saw what Tampa could do against the Devils. The Devils have been the better team over the last month and a half. I mean, that's just the facts of it. Looking at the last 10 games, the Devils sit 7-2-1. Tampa, 3-5-2. Not fantastic by any means, but we can still have that confidence. We beat them once. We can do it again. Can we do it 2 more times? It'd be great, but we'll have to wait and see. Montreal, the only other team we're playing this weekend. I mean, if there's a team that's going slower right now than Tampa, it's the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. The reason is they're not very good. So this is a very good opportunity for the Bolts to, you know, kind of get some confidence back, put up a couple points. Brian Elliott will probably get this game, and you know, maybe he can get himself feeling a little good again, a little bit of confidence boost as he, you know, probably has another couple games down the stretch to make sure Vassy is nice and healthy and rested for the playoffs. But should be a game that shouldn't anything, you know, be anything too out of hand. Of course, Montreal can win. They're still an NHL team, regardless of what's going on. They're going to be in this game. And I just realized something.
What's that?
We play them twice in 4 days as well, home and away.
Nice. You know, whoever's putting these schedules together, I love it. Like, great work.
It's just so unreal, weird, dude. Whatever. So, you know, I talked about trying to keep winning against the same team. If you're going to do it and win, beat the same team twice in 4 days, I think Montreal is the team that you can do it against.
Yeah, when you look at the team, 31st in power play, 31st in penalty kill, 28th in goals for, 27th in goals against. There's not many teams out there that are bottom six in every category. And one of them is obviously Montreal. So I think that this is going to be a little bit more of a different story than the Devils. Yes, we have them very close proximity when it comes to timeline and everything, but I think this results in two wins.
Yeah, I have to agree.
All right, Chase. Well, let's hear from our lovely sponsors over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Ready for the underdogs, the upsets, and unbelievable action from the DraftKings Sportsbook? The biggest tournament in college basketball is here. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on college hoops and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all customers can score a no-sweat bet during round one and two of the tournament. Go to the app, opt in, and place a no-sweat bet this weekend. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. Michigan State versus USC, 7 versus 10. Gimme State, because we all know Tom Izzo is March. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Win or lose. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Shout out to our friends over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. Chase, March Madness is here. Have you placed any bets yet?
I have. Nothing like crazy, because like I don't know college basketball. I just really don't. I don't pay enough attention to it to give you deep analytics. So it's just mostly putting together a couple small parlays, teams that are not heavy favorites but are favorited, and then trying to find one team who seems like it could be an upset just based on things I briefly read or how this, you know, the seeding works. You know, that there's always good upsets in the six v 11 and 5v12 range teams. So just trying to look for whichever ones I like the most to kind of put together. That's really about it. But I want to say something, Mike, or ask you something. In that ad read, I'm assuming you were not instructed specifically to say Michigan State. I'm assuming you just said Michigan State and Tom Izzo.
What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Because
that was a part of the ad read.
Well, they stink. So DraftKings,
they're the number 7 seed, and they're going to beat the number 10 seed USC. Book it.
Yeah, the 7 seed's the 28th team in the country. Woo, they're going to beat a 10 seed. They should beat them. Woo.
To be fair, Michigan State's actual team isn't great. However, Tom Izzo is a top 3 coach of all time in March. So, yeah, I'll take him to at least win a couple of games, for sure.
You're still just a nub, you know that?
You want to hear my parlay?
I would love to hear your parlay.
Got a little 9-pick parlay here. And this was not done by me because I don't know anything about college basketball. But friends at work, big college basketball guys, so they helped me out. We got old Charleston over San Diego State, Providence over Kentucky. Those are my two upsets. Then we have some guarantees, Arizona over Princeton, Duke over Oral Roberts. I know everyone's going to be up in arms because everyone loves Oral Roberts. Not the case, though. Not the case. We got Kansas State over Montana State, Marquette over Vermont, Houston over Northern Kentucky, Texas over Colgate, Kansas over Howard. Put $5 on that. If that hits, I'm cashing out at $83.
So I'm opening my book right now, so I can tell you. I placed a long shot one. Here we go. We're loading now. I would say that's solid because I don't know what any of this means. So, you know, very good choices, Mike. I think it's all hitting.
Appreciate that.
I got this $1 one to win $326. I got Fairleigh Dickinson, whoever the hell, like whatever school that is. I got the money line against Texas Southern today. So, unfortunately, after listening to this, you won't be able to take this bet, but you can take the rest of it. Arizona State, money line over Nevada. West Virginia, money line over Maryland. Utah State, money line over Missouri. Over 145.5 in Kansas versus Howard. Over 155.5 in A&M versus Alabama. Or A&M Corpus, whoever the hell that is. San Diego State, money line. Illinois, money line. Auburn, money line. and Duke money line over Ole Oral. And yeah, that dollar will pay out $326. So go for that.
That would be nice. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that Alabama's just incredible this year. That's about as much as I can tell you about college basketball.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of stuff on TikTok saying adjusted defense ratings. These are the four teams you want to go after. Alabama always in those.
Yeah, it's just annoying. Thank God they don't have a hockey team. So they find a way to just get all the best hockey players too, and it's just annoying that they're starting to be good at every sport.
I mean, it's been nice not seeing them in the college football playoffs this year, but
that's definitely fair. I did enjoy that plenty.
All right, let's move on. Some more hockey talk. We got the Boston Bruins setting records.
Yeah, so pretty impressive. 50 wins are like the fastest team to do it. I don't know why I phrased that so weird, but you know, the fastest team to get 50 wins in NHL history in a season, the quickest amount of games. It's just it's impressive with what they've done this year. Linus Ullmark has really carried a team who is also carried him, because like everything's just working. Like Linus Ullmark's gonna win the Vezina, and you've got 9 forwards and 5 defensemen that are all top line guys on basically every other team. Like your team's just loaded from top to bottom. They're a hell of a roster. They're gonna be hard to beat, but at the same time, we don't see a lot of these types of teams win the cup. You know, the last team that I saw like this, that you know, that I was really like, oh, this team is it, was our Tampa Lightning back in you know, the 2019 playoffs, and we know how that went. So I think that, you know, there's a chance that this gets a little too much for Boston, and at some point they got to start slowing down. You can't just be on a heater all year long. It kind of sucks for them that they haven't gone on, you know, a bit of a losing streak yet, because it might happen in the playoffs. But nonetheless, very good team, and really one of the better just all-around teams I've probably ever seen.
Yeah, it's crazy what they're doing, and they feel unstoppable right now, but there's a lot of good teams in the East, and it wouldn't shock me if they don't even get to the Stanley Cup Finals, because I could see the likes of Toronto, Carolina, teams that have loaded up. Yours truly, the Tampa Bay Lightning, as well as even New Jersey and New York, they could pose a little bit of a threat to the Bruins. So it's going to be a tough playoff run for sure, but so far they've looked so damn impressive.
Yeah, they're definitely those dudes this year. Like it hasn't really impressive. It's the right word to use. And whoever's going against them, just you got to bring your A game.
All right, let's now talk about the Briere family and their situations.
Yeah, so first of all, congrats. Danny Briere gets the promotion to interim GM. As you know, Chuck Fletcher gets the boot. And I can't say it's very surprising, because Chuck Fletcher has, you know, not been doing maybe the greatest job. But Danny Briere is always a likable guy, so it's cool to see. Personally, though, a little bit selfishly, I hate seeing all these old like NHL players getting these jobs. Some of them might deserve it, some of them don't. But it's just, you know, limiting opportunities for guys that didn't play the sport at a very high level, which it kind of sucks, but whatever. Beside the point, you got to move over to his kid now, who has really made himself look like an absolute piece of shit, as there's a, you know, video cam footage caught at a Mercer's party where he attends college. There was an empty wheelchair sitting at the top of the stairs. That wheelchair was occupied by a young woman who had to be carried down the stairs to use the bathroom at this house party, because there was no bathroom upstairs. And what he thought was the good move here, for some stupid ass reason, was taking the very expensive wheelchair and pushing it down the stairs, and ended up causing a lot of damage to it. Just absolute idiotic move for a kid who's already been kicked out of one college before he even played any college hockey games. And now he's doing this type of thing. It just shows that some people, sometimes they can't grow up. Sometimes they can't mature. Sometimes you're just a piece of shit. And like this isn't just this was a mistake. Like this is just something. It's like, why would you even do this? Like, what's the point of doing this? What does this bring to anybody? Like, what good does this bring to anybody? Why would you even think of it? How does it make you feel good? Like, it makes no sense. So, like, this one just doesn't come up as all. It's just a mistake to me. This one just comes up, you're a fucking idiot. And you're a piece of shit. So, good for Danny Briere, bad for his child.
I don't have much more to say on that. Chase pretty much hit all the marks there. It's got to be difficult to have a dad that's, you know, playing hockey and doing all kinds of other stuff, but at the same time, like, just be smarter about stuff. It's not that hard.
Yeah, just grow up, be an adult. Like, at the end of the day, you're playing college hockey. You're a role model in, you know, on that campus because people just know who you are, and you're trying to probably make a career out of it. You got to grow up. You just have to grow up. You can't keep being that way.
Yeah, well, sticking in the college hockey world, let's talk about some free agents that could potentially be joining NHL teams here down the stretch.
Yeah, so there's a pretty long list that was released on the NHL website. I don't know how many, let's see, that was March 9th. So about 6 days ago now. Just kind of wanted to throw out the names. There's a couple guys that maybe are on Tampa's roster, which I think could be good fits. So, just going over the names: Matt Brown from Boston University, Parker Ford from Providence, Reese Gaber from North Dakota, Justin Rickovian. I don't know how to say one for sure. I think it's how you pronounce it. From Northeastern, Jake Livingstone from Minnesota State Mankato, Sam Alinsky from Cornell, Ryan McAllister from Western Michigan. Spoiler alert, he's one of three Western Michigan guys on this list. Hunter McCown from Colorado College, Travis Mitchell, another Cornell guy, Jackson Nelson from Minnesota, Victor Ostman from Maine, he's a Euro, Jason Poland from Western Michigan, Max Sasson from Western Michigan as well. There's the other two. Then Wilmer Skoog from Boston, another Euro, and then Austin Swankler from Bowling Green. So there's a pretty good list of names here. Depending on who wants to leave and who wants to stay, there's some very strong legitimate options. There's some Hobie Baker finalists on this list, including Jason Poland, someone that I think would be a pretty solid chance to take for an NHL team. We really don't see too many NCAA free agent players go on and be like stars. So we're seeing less and less each year the hype for these NCAA free agents, because there's a reason at the end of the day that they were probably passed up in the draft. But there's still guys that go on that have NHL careers. You know, you can look at Danny DeKeyser, you can look at Jimmy Vesey as two very strong examples of it. You can look at Christian Follin back in the day, who was getting a bunch of hype coming out as a college free agent, still played some NHL games, so it was a much shorter career. So like those guys do exist, but I think Jason Poland would be a good guy to kind of take a shot on. I think either of the Swedes are good options. When you're looking at some other ones, you got Hunter McCown. He's only a 20-year-old, so he's someone that scored quite a bit. What's his nuts? Max Sesson, another 20-year-old. And then Ryan McAllister is, went to West Michigan as a freshman, so I'm going to assume that he's going to return. But like his first year college hockey, he's dominating, so maybe there's a chance he leaves, because he probably has the most realistic NHL hopes of all these names. And then another one that I would say is worth keeping an eye on is Parker Ford, as he has Team USA games under his belt. He was one of the very few guys that was an undrafted player playing in Team USA in previous World Junior tournaments. So I think he's someone that's going to get a legitimate opportunity. Maybe not playing like, you know, a top forward role, but someone's going to sign him. He's going to get NHL games. He's going to get a chance. So I think all those names are very strong options for the Lightning. I hope they pull a trigger on at least one of them. Just take a shot and see what happens.
Yeah, definitely some names to look out for. Would be great for Tampa to take a splash in the college free agent market. However, Chase, you mentioned Hobie Baker finalists, excuse me. One of the Hobie Baker finalists, absolutely fantastic upcoming prospect, Anna Fantilli, but not likely he wins? What was I reading the other day that you sent me?
Well, I sent you, it was, this is like the Big Ten Player of the Year Award. That's and right. I think it went to Matt Knies, right? I think yep. That's who it went to. And, you know, don't get me wrong, Matt Knies had a very good season. He's a very talented player. He's going to be an NHL player. He had, you know, 40 points, 35 games. Good stuff. And playing in not a very easy division. But Adam Fantilli led all the NCAA in scoring as a first-time draft eligible player, 60 points, 27 goals, 32 games, just dominated, and he got shafted there, which is a big sign, and at the end of the day is kind of historically telling the story of what happens with these younger players in college hockey. I mean, we saw it with Kyle Connor and Jimmy Vesey. You know, Kyle Connor, the old classmate of mine, he obviously is an NHL superstar, went to U of M, had a dominant freshman season, like 71 points, I believe was the number. And Jimmy Vesey ended up winning the Hobey Baker with 26 less points just because he was a senior graduating player. And I got a feeling we're going to see the same type of thing happen again. Adam Fantilli was just far and beyond the best player in college hockey this year. I don't think anybody even was sniffing him, and the numbers show that too. But they're probably going to give it to an older player, and it's just stupid that it works the way. Just give it to the best player. Don't give it to the player that you're trying to get in the spotlight, they're trying to get, you know, an NHL contract. Give it to the best player, give it to the guy that deserves the award, and that is Fantilli. But I'll also write off the rest of the names just so you guys know who they are and maybe kind of get an understanding who might win. Logan Cooley from Minnesota, he's a Coyotes pick, of course. Sean Farrell from Harvard, Canadiens pick. Colin Graf from Quinnipiac, he is a undrafted player. Lane Hutson from Boston, he's a Montreal Canadian. Lane Hutson should be one of the top finalist in my opinion. He's a stud. Maddie Kanize, as I mentioned, from Minnesota. He Big Ten Player of the Year, is also up for this award. Devin Levi from Northeastern, he's a Buffalo Sabres prospect. Yanni Peretz from Quinnipiac, he's an undrafted player, someone I thought might have came out of college last year, but should get an opportunity if he chooses to take it this year. Blake Petilla from Michigan Tech, undrafted player, and then Jason Polin, as mentioned in the previous segment, from Western Michigan, undrafted. So there is a very good list of players here. I think all these guys are going to get NHL looks at the end of the day, but really Fantilli is the deserving winner. And for me, the next one would be Jason Polin if he had to pick someone else, but it's got to be Fantilli.
So you mentioned that you think Fantilli has the potential of getting screwed over like many other younger players do. So if that's the case, who would your guess be that would get it?
Probably Jason Polin from Western Michigan.
Okay.
That's the second most deserving player, and I think he would get it because, you know, he is a 23-year-old. He's played a decent, you know, college career, and he still did produce. So I think he's someone. He put up similar numbers to Jimmy Vesey, so I think he could definitely be in that range. If not, then, you know, my next best guess, they could look at Maddie Nyes as well because he's on that legitimate NHL radar, or maybe they go with a goalie. Maybe go with Leo Perez, whichever one they want to go with. It's all possible. But I'm going to legitimately be shocked if it's not Fantilli or Polin.
Yeah, I wanted to mention Levi and Peretz because these are guys that are, at least Levi, I need to look up Peretz, his stats and everything. But when you look at Levi, he's only a two-year starter, and he's been a Hobey Baker finalist both years. So this guy's been playing out of his mind, and he was a seventh-round pick.
Yeah, he's just what, you know, the people call a very good hockey player. He's great, and he's someone that's going to have an NHL career. There's a reason he keeps ending up in the running for this award, because he's just what you want out of a goalie. We're going to see him play NHL games sooner than later. Is he going to sign this year? I don't know, but I got to imagine it's going to be like relatively soon. And you know, he really is just super talented. He's the best goalie in college hockey. So maybe he does deserve a little more recognition, a better chance at the award. But he really has just kind of broken out these last couple of years.
Yeah, and Peretz, similar fashion. He's only a two-year starter, undrafted. He's definitely going to get a look at some point.
Yeah, oh, he's definitely going to get an opportunity, without a doubt. Again, is that going to be happening this year, getting NHL games? I don't know. It really all depends if these guys sign, where they sign, kind of how things go from there.
All right, Chase, well, finally, let's talk about some stuff from around the league. A couple notes on GM meetings as well as some dates that we're going to be looking forward to as the season starts to, at least the regular season starts to come to a close.
Yeah, so coming out of the GM meetings, those ended today. Gary Bettman was talking about some things that went on And, you know, the two things I really want to highlight, because they're the really only two major things of note, or I guess we could talk about the third one. I'll just throw it out there, that the NHL has, you know, the expansion is at least somewhat on their mind, but still not necessarily on the horizon. So that is something to really keep in mind. What we'll see over the next coming years. But the cap, right now, it's only projected to go up about $1 million for next season. There's a chance it could go up more. You know, Bettman was talking about it today that, you know, there's like $100 million in the escrow account right now. So that you would usually mean that, you know, about a million, maybe $1.5 million would go up, because that's about what could be awarded to each team. But he said there's a chance that it could be more, which hopefully that's the case, because at the end of the day, we want to see guys get paid, and that just means more opportunity. And then outside of that, the other one I wanted to bring up was the overtime rules. There's been some talk about some extended overtime, you know, maybe making it longer. We've seen it happen already in the East Coast League. They've been kind of testing out some things. They're kind of a guinea pig for the NHL. You know, they tested puck tracking. They tested all the stuff before the NHL fully adopted it. And the extended overtime is the thing, too. You know, the NHL could be looking at making it a 7-minute overtime, maybe making it a 10-minute overtime, 12-minute overtime, however long they deem it to be. But the longer overtime has just brought more exciting hockey. It started eliminating the need a little bit for the shootout, because, you know, a shootout can be fun to see, but I also hate the game coming down to a shootout. I'd rather just see them keep playing in overtime. So they're going to hopefully extend the overtime a little bit, and it seems like it's a realistic possibility. Is it going to happen next year? Maybe not, but I got to imagine it's going to happen the next couple of years.
That'd be cool. I just worry about people on the East Coast watching West Coast games, and, you know, just don't extend it more than 10 minutes, in my opinion. I mean, the shootout's there for a reason. Get the game over with. Obviously, playoffs, we want it to be rewarded by overtime. There's no shot. I'm looking at shootout there. But I think when it comes to regular season games, who knows? Maybe someone out here in Ohio is a giant Coyotes fan. You got Coyotes versus Vancouver, a game that means absolutely nothing. But he's going to have to stay up till 1 a.m., to watch the game officially end if it's extended overtime. So, I mean, I get but at the same time, there's that.
If you're a Coyotes fan living in Ohio, you need to get some help, because why would you do that? That's a horrible combination of things.
I mean, you think you'd want to be a Columbus fan? No.
Choose basically any team in any other direction. You got North, South, East, and West you can choose from. You can choose the Wings. You can choose either Pennsylvania team. You can choose the Preds. You can choose the Blackhawks. Like, legitimately any of those, not the Coyotes. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, I don't know. It's someone from Ohio. It's a made-up person from Ohio, okay?
Yeah, well, this poor person is just they're just cuckoo banana.
They're feeling it, that's for sure. They are feeling
yeah.
it. All right.
And then, me. Dates. I lead us into the dates.
Dates.
All right, Mike, can you go ahead and lead us into the dates?
Dates.
Okay. So, as you mentioned before, this all got stupid, actually going into this part of the show. There are some dates to note for the NHL season, for the rest of this year, specifically. Playoffs start April 17th. The draft lottery will be May 8th. And day one of the NHL draft will be June 28th. So obviously the Bolts are going to be looking at those playoffs dates. Are they going to start on the 17th? Are they going to start on the 18th? Maybe even the 19th? We'll see. Because not every team's going to start on the 17th. They're going to stagger it to try to keep games as evenly distributed as possible so they can all be shown on TV. So we'll see exactly what dates the Bolts get. And then draft lottery, it's nothing that we're going to have any skin in the game on, but it's always fun to watch seeing what's going to happen, especially in this year. Connor Bedard, the absolute just crown jewel of prospects, and, you know, even two guys behind him. I mean, if you want to even go three, and Fantilli, Mishkov, and Carlson are all very coveted prospects as well. So if two teams move up, even if you don't move up to one, moving up to two is still considered a win because of how legit those guys are. So it'll be fun watching the draft lottery on the 8th. And then, of course, when the NHL draft comes around, June 28th, one of my favorite days of the year. I love draft season. I'm super excited for that.
Draft season's fantastic. The one thing I've got an issue with the NHL, and really hope they don't repeat themselves this year, is we started the playoffs great. Like you mentioned, stagger it, make sure we got even games. And then for some reason, they just decided to give one game a two-day break And we just so happened to have five games on one night and three on the other, rather than 4-4. And that just, that pissed me right off.
Yeah, that was dumb. I remember that.
Like, you're just messing with people's OCD at that point. Stop it.
Facts.
Stop it. Get some help.
My God.
All right, hockey name of the day. Let's shigget it. Let's shigget it.
Let's rip her.
We got old Artyom Ivan Yuzankov. Oh, nailed it.
Artem, because you don't go Artyom. It's just Artyom. Ivan Yuzankov.
I nailed that.
Artyom Ivan Yuzankov. We'll pretend you nailed it just for your own sake.
I mean, the last name was nailed. That's for sure.
Yeah, sure it was. Well, our boy AI, you know, as his friends probably don't call him, he is a 24-year-old Russian, obviously, if you did not gather with that name. 6'2", 218 pounds. He does have American and Canadian label citizenship. I don't know if he was, really grew up here. He was born in Russia, but maybe he lived here for a little bit. He did play hockey in North America, played some USHL games, played some AHL and ECHL games, but spent the last couple years in the KHL. This last season with HK Sochi, not a very good team in the KHL, but 3 assists to 36 games. Played a fairly regular amount, in terms of like getting games. The most he played in a single game this year was 13 minutes and 8 seconds. And the stat line kind of tells, he's not some super contributor, but obviously brings something to the plate. He's definitely a tough, grittier type player, and his penalty minute numbers in previous seasons show that. As in both seasons in the USHL, he had over 120 penalty minutes. In his junior years in Russia, he had 167 penalty minutes through 45 games. So he's got a bit of an edge to him, which it's always a good presence, even in those leagues where there's not a ton of fighting or anything like that. It's good to have that type of guy in the lineup.
Hey, I love some grit. I mean, we're from Detroit. Dan Campbell, all about the grit. So you got to love Facts. To see some grit in the young players out here. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen. Chase, do your thing.
You know what? I will. I thought you could start maybe singing the Drake song. Chase, do your thing. Chase, whatever the hell that stupid song is. I don't know what the name of the song is.
But you can outro by just singing The Devil Went Down to Florida. If you wanted to do that.
No, if I'm singing a song to end the show, because I do not have that country folk type
say
of
my
type
name,
of voice.
Say my name.
I mean, I'll sing American Pie by Don McLean. Maybe that's it.
No.
And I also will still not be singing that. But anywho, thank you guys for checking out the show. Go follow us on Twitter, Bolts Broadcast. Go follow Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter, HockeyPodNet. Go follow WNP on Twitter, WNP Sports Pod. Go get our football content. Make sure to check out the HockeyPodcastNetwork.com. You can find all our podcast network right there. Boom, click the logo. That's an easy peasy lemon squeezy. Whoever you're listening, rate us 5 stars. Send us questions, comments, concerns. That would be greatly appreciated. Whatever you do, don't forget to use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time.